Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
A number of years ago, I was early in my ministry, and I was speaking that day, and it was probably very early in the service, around the time you're doing opening prayer, and there was a woman who was there who, I don't know if you ever saw the movie, you know, the superhero Flash. She just flashed out of the room. Now, at that moment, I didn't give it any meaning, at least not much. But I did take notice. And then later on, I spoke to a friend of hers who had brought her there for the very first time to explain to me why she suddenly left. And apparently, I had used the word Christ. And she had an allergy to that word. Because she had been brought up and had very negative memories about hearing that word. She associated with religious abuse throughout most of her life, that she had somehow been chastised, she had been condemned, she had been vilified and judged based upon her lifestyle and sexual orientation, all done in the name of, quote, Christ. Now, I know that a lot of people may be turned off by that word. In fact, for a good portion of my life, I wasn't too keen on the word either. You know, sometimes people would come up to me, you know, because I was, I guess in their minds, a heathen. And they said, "Have you been saved by Christ?" And I would often say to myself, "Saved? I don't want to be saved. I want to be useful." Saved from what? Saved for what? But due to my perception, you know, I had realized that oftentimes people used it to justify judgment of others. And if you didn't adhere to their particular belief, there was something wrong with you. And then I learned that this presence that we call Christ is not a person. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, "We're about to have the Christ family reunion." Rather, this presence is really that part of God within each and every one of us. Arguably, according to Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, there's a statement in the Colossians, the first chapter, in the 27th verse that says, "It is the Christ in you that is the hope of glory." Not the person, not the Jesus within you, but that Christ within you. And sometimes I say to people, if they don't resonate with that particular word, we can use any other word to substitute and describe the exact same thing. Some paths call it the Atman presence. Others may call it the universal mind. Some may call it the divinity within us. I personally like the Star Wars version of it. They call the Force. May the Force be with you, because it always is. But no matter what we call it, our job is to call it forth as the activity of our awareness, of our consciousness, in a moment-by-moment living experience. This idea of the Christ that we'll hear a lot about this time of the year is really God's idea, this force's idea of humanity. And I believe it includes all the attributes that we consider good and perfect, of peace and joy and wisdom and wholeness and compassion and health and all the things that are very positive. The celebration of Christmas is an acknowledgement of the remembrance of the Spirit of God that has been born in our awareness. Now, of course, this spiritual presence is reflected in many different spiritual paths. As I mentioned last week, you know, throughout this month, folks will be celebrating different services and programs and traditions like Kwanzaa and Hanukkah, and as well as Christmas and even earth ceremonies and so forth. But they all realize the inherent goodness of humanity and our potential as human as well as spiritual beings. So you may be asked, how is it that we can anchor this in our real life, in our real experiences day to day? How can we bring forth this title, which is really what it is? The Christ is a title. And it says, in all the words, that it reminds us of our true identity, the fact that we're made in the image and likeness of out of this something that we call God. Of course, it's one thing to say that we're made in the image and likeness of God. It's another thing to say that we're the living proof of it. To be the living proof of this presence that we call God, we must have the same consciousness as that Christ presence. You know, I was thinking about this because there's one scriptural reference in which, you know, the master teacher Jesus, the Christ, he's kind of like, you know, Richard the Lionhearted, or, you know, Alexander the Great. It was a title that was bestowed upon him. And he was asking his disciples, well, who do the people around me say that I am? And, you know, some were saying that he was the reincarnation of this prophet or that prophet. And then Simon Peter, the disciple, said, thou art the what did he say? Say something to the effect, okay, it'll come to me. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. And the master teacher said, blessed be Simon Barjona. That's what he called him, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but it's that spiritual presence within you that allowed you to see that. But also he said later on that all that I have done, you can do as well. In other words, that presence is also within me. And so it says in Philippians that let this mind be in you, as was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, that presence was within him and within all of us. Now, there's no definitive how-tos on how to make this kind of become more aware within us. There's no instant enlightenment. You know, we go to workshops, seminars, read books, you know, to get some how-tos from time to time to help us kind of become enlightened. But I say all of that is nothing more but to keep the ego busy until the whole Spirit of God can do the work. Because that's where the power is. To kind of keep them busy, and then it slips in there, and then we suddenly have some change within us. So we want to think about the Christ presence. And when we begin to think about the what, that's what we really want to focus on, we'll discover it'll begin to create our own how-tos. Because the presence that we call God will work through us. It will articulate itself through us in ways that we will understand. You know, I ran across a poem a number of years ago that says something to the effect, or asks the question, when does Christmas come? And it lists a number of things that indicates when this Christmas or this Christ presence shows up. And one of the things it says in that poem, it says, Christmas comes when we are able to do the impossible, or what it seems to be the impossible. Because when we connect with that presence, there is no limitation of what's possible for us. There's a gentleman named Mick who had founded a company called Not Impossible Labs. And he figured out how to solve what people considered to be impossible things. And he had read about a young boy, his name was Daniel, who was from the Sudan. And this young boy was in Sudan during the time there were, you know, conflicts going on, bombs going off. And he began to hide behind a tree. And around this time, he wrapped his arms around that tree, and bombs went off near that tree. And his body, of course, was safe. But unfortunately, his arms were wrapped around that particular tree, and he lost his arms when the bomb went off. He went into unconsciousness, and when he awoke, when he came to, he said he wished he were dead because he didn't want to become a burden upon his family. And he was only 12 years old at the time. And of course, when most of us hear a story like that, it's sad, it's disturbing. We think, well, I'm glad, you know, I wish that it had not happened to him. And I'm glad it didn't happen to anyone else that I know or anyone that I may know about. But Mick, the founder of this company, Not Impossible Labs, began to think a little differently. And he flew over to Sudan, and without any knowledge of, you know, arms or war or prosthetics, he got a bunch of experts together and put together a 3D printer to print the prosthetics and the mechanics that he needed. And he printed some arms for Daniel in a way that had never been done before for this particular individual. It was cheaper than it had been done any time in history. And so when Christmas came along that year, Daniel had two prosthetic arms. He could feed himself. He could help his family again. And when Daniel was asked, when the gentleman was asked what made him think this was possible, Mick laughed and told his theories on helping people. And he said his company, Not Impossible, ignores high-stakes situations when people say it's impossible and figures out how to make the situation possible. And I say all that because I think he was capturing the essence of what we say when we claim our holy name, demonstrate the power of the holy name, the power of the presence of God within us, the force that is within us, that says that we're made in the image and likeness of God. You know, in that same poem that's quoted by the most quoted author of all time, Anonymous, says another line in it. He says that Christmas comes when we're able to know the unknown. Sometimes we're pushed to be aware of something, even if it happens to come during an emergency. You know, it happens a lot of times when we're at our wit's end and we have to go beyond what we think we know. Maybe we're in desperation. That's when a lot of people start praying. I tried everything I know. Time to try God right now. But sometimes desperation will push us to another level where we have to go to that power that is within us. So sometimes we go through stuff, as I mentioned before. I go through stuff in life. I know no one here does, but you may know people who do. But if you happen to know someone who's going through stuff or growing through stuff, or sometimes I'm groaning through stuff, understand it can move us deeper. Deeper expressions of who and what we are as spiritual beings so that something new can be born. You know, I mentioned that we're going to have our candle lighting services on Friday and then the following, Tuesday. Or is it Wednesday? Tuesday. See, everybody was watching the program and everything. That's good to see. But, you know, that song, Silent Night, really owes itself to being birthed as a result of an emergency. You know, Austria is the one that gave us that song. And over 200 years ago, just before Christmas, you know, the mice had eaten the organ bellows of a church. And it looked like they were going to have Christmas without having any music. That would be like coming here on Sunday, not having the music of Bajan and everybody else here. You know, something would be missing. But the parish priest was undaunted by this. He improvised the lyrics to Silent Night. And he asked the organist to think of a simple tune for them that could be played on the guitar since they didn't have the organ anymore. And just at that moment, in that emergency, in that crisis for them, birthed this new song. Something new was born. You may be going through something at times, you know, a crisis, a spiritual emergency. And I would say, just hold on. Know that something new is seeking to be emerged in you. Something is seeking to be born in you. A breakthrough lies ahead. The pressure of who and what we really are is upon us, which is that Christ presence that we all have within and around us. You know, it can only be birthed when we are in that open state of mind, that virgin state of mind, when we have what the Zen call the beginner's mind. And we're very focused and one-pointed, where we recognize there is only God and God only. Not only in ourselves, but in our fellow beings. That is the truth of them. That is their true holy name. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, there was a shooting in the Pensacola Air Force Base. and three people died and others were injured. And because I have a friend of mine, a minister in Pensacola, and I was talking with them about the experience and how it impacted their community. It didn't get a lot of attention because, you know, there's a whole lot of other stuff going on in the country right now. I won't bring that up. I know. Now you can't erase it from your mind. But anyway, there, you know, one of the things that was brought up is that, you know, the gentleman who is alleged to have done this attack, you know, was a terrorist, was a Muslim, and people were blaming the Muslim community for this. You know, this was, you know, just painting a whole community based upon one person. And it reminded me of a man named Alex, who tells of an emotional conversation he had with a Muslim cab driver in New York. And this inspired him to speak out about all the words against this group of people. He said that he caught a cab in the city one Friday night, very late. And he didn't expect anything out of the ordinary. But when he stepped inside, the driver profusely and intensely started saying thank you. And he wasn't sure what to make of it. But after a while, he would write about the conversation that followed because he said it was one of the most heartbreaking moments he had ever experienced in his life. You know, the driver explained to him that he was thanking him so profusely for being his first customer in his 2 hours of work. And the man suspected that many people were not willing to get in his cab because of his Muslim faith. And Alex, at the time, empathized with the driver and expressed his support while he was on that ride for it took about 25, 30 minutes. And while he was talking with him, he was so moved, he forgot to ask him his name, the driver's name. But the exchange inspired him to share his experience on social media. It was a passive message about not being Islamophobic. And it went viral overnight. You know, in the beginning, you know, it was talking about maybe it hit maybe 25 people. But he said in his story, he cried the whole way. He's talking about the driver as he was taking him to his destination. And he said, it made me cry too. Because he kept saying, Allah, my God, does not believe in what these others have done. And people think that I'm part of it. Nobody wants to drive with me because they feel unsafe, that I can't even do my job. And so he took the opportunity to speak out against those actions, against extremists. And he says, you know, please stop saying that this group of people are the problem because they're brothers and sisters just like you and me. We're part of one human family. And after a while, he wrote a lot more about what went on. And, you know, the next day he said, you know, 25 people had, you know, reposted it, retweeted it. But then, you know, a day later, there was an avalanche of people who began to really pick up on the message. And it hit more than 30,000 people have received it. And he said the replies were so touching, so sincere. It wasn't just the Muslim community replying, but everybody was replying because they began to identify what our real identity is as a human race. That one person recognized the holy name within that cab driver, and others began to pick up on it because he began to leverage it with his own message. I think the celebration of Christmas is the acknowledgement and the remembrance of the Spirit of God that has been born in our awareness. The spiritual presence is reflected in many different spiritual paths, as I mentioned, but they all help us realize the inherent goodness of humanity, our potential as human and as well as spiritual beings. This Christmas story in particular reminds us of the most important thing we can do to bring God into expression in our lives is what we should make first and foremost. Because if we don't practice the truth, we reduce the truth to a mere belief. And a belief system not applied is of little value. It turns God into an abstraction that's somehow far off somewhere that does nothing to heal the distresses of the human condition. Yet when we access the power of our holy name, so to speak, the world around us changes. It changes because we remember and express our true identity. We can take heart in the statement that all the things I have done, when Jesus said that, we can do as well. And realize that part of claiming our holy name, our true identity, is doing what has never been done before and feeling the possibilities of the human spirit. And so when we begin to do that, when some individuals kind of come out from among them and start doing those things, they may say, those people, they're crazy. Those unity people, those SLC people, they believe that peace can happen on the planet, that there can be peace among all the religions, that somehow poverty can end, that there's enough technology and good on the planet to end homelessness, to end disease and lack and limitation, that gun violence can in fact be stopped, that everyone can be fed, have clean water, basic education, that we can actually have a political system that works for everyone. Though they actually believe that, and we can say, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because with God awareness, with God awareness, all things are possible. That's the power of our holy name. I would say that all the good of the universe is contained in this room. Genius is here in this room. Power is here. Creativity is here. All of it is right here and now. You know, the quantum physicists have been teaching us everything there is contained within the entire universe. We don't have to look outside of ourselves to activate that genius within us. We may not even be aware that what's going on right now is affecting someone in their own life, in their own consciousness. Someone wants to be better right now because of the thought that you're holding. Someone wants to be generous. Someone wants a healing in their life because we're demonstrating in our own life. Someone wants to make a difference on the planet, and we may ask why. Because a group of people have come together not to live because someone was an exception like Jesus, but he was an example of our possibilities, and we want to live that way. So as we claim the power of our holy name, it behooves us to be reminded of our real identity that was described by the master teacher, Jesus the Christ. He said that ye are the light that lighteth up every person that comes into the world. And the light represents the unlimited possibilities that are inherent in all of us as that light. We want to see and we want to identify with the highest vision we can see for ourselves. The messages we take help shape our self-concept, how we see ourselves, and it sets the direction of our life and our world because we can never go beyond the image we have of ourselves. So you want to raise that image, raise it to the highest and best. And I think Christmas allows us to remember to do that. So as we celebrate the Christmas season, let us remember our real identity, that we are the light. As I like to say, it didn't say, give me a light. He didn't say, give me a Bud Light or otherwise. He said, you are the light. We want that embedded in our minds and our hearts. And when we do, not only do each of us live out our life aligned with our highest and best selves, but we usher in the same thing for the world in which we live. That is the power of claiming and living out our holy name, our true self. That is why we are here. Let us celebrate that. Let us be that. Let that be the consciousness in which we walk into and radiate from the depths of our being. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
one heart.